Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Elhamdülillah. Vessalatu vesselamu ala rasulillah ve ala alihi ve sahbihi men vela. So we go to the next Makkan surah, early Makkan surah, which is Surah Al-Qalam, Noon wal-Qalam. This is surah number 68, and we will cover what we can of this today, time permitting. So this is also an early Makkan surah, and some commentators have said that perhaps this was the second one to be revealed, but that does not seem to be the case. Okay. Studying everything, we believe that Al-Muddathir and Al-Muzzammil were revealed before this surah, for the simple reason that the first ayah of it starts in a certain way, and first two ayahs that give us an indication or that it was after at least 3 years. So it's an early Makkan surah, probably, you know, in the first 3 years of the dawah, from Iqra and Muddathir to stand and warn, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started doing private dawah to his family, you know, small groups of people, till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him to go and proclaim the message of Islam to everyone, which is called the public dawah. And most of the historians have said public dawah started after almost 3 years. So once that public dawah started, then the people who rejected the message started to gang together and to badmouth the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, calling him a liar, calling him a sha'ir, a poet, calling him a magician, calling him all of those, and calling him a madman, Majnoon. So, obviously, the context of the surah is that that opposition to Islamic dawah had already started when this surah was revealed, because the first three ayahs talk about the people who are opposing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and calling him a madman. So it couldn't have been right from the beginning, because nobody is calling him a madman. Okay. So, this surah is the first one in the revelation that starts with an alphabet. It's Noon, وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْطُرُونَ. Noon. Noon is, what is Noon? It's an alphabet in the Arabic language, right? How many alphabets in the Arabic language? Yes? 26 is English. Adults, so don't feel bad. The adults are having trouble. 28. How many alphabets? Occupy. 28 alphabets. So there are several surahs. How many surahs in the Quran? 114. Most people know that. So 29 of the 114 surahs start with these disconnected letters, which are called huruful muqatta'at, or disconnected letters. They're also called the fawatih, the openers. Okay. So 29 surahs start with things like alif lam mim, alif lam mim ra, yasin, taha, noon, qaf, sad, you know. So between 1 and 5 alphabets start the ayah, the surah. Now if you look at these, all except 4, when the surahs, or to the 29 where it starts, after the huruf al-muqatta'at, it talks about the Quran. Except in 4 surahs, which is Surah Maryam, Noon wal-Qalam, Ankabut and Rum, where the first ayah doesn't talk about the Quran. All the other 25 after Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ الْعَرَبِ Alif Lam Mim, اللَّهُ لَا إِلَّا هُوَ الْهَيُّ الْقَيُّمُ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكَ, talking about the Quran. Everyone starts with reference to the Quran, because the Quran is essentially, the kalam is alphabets put together. So this, these alphabets, these disconnected alphabets, huruf al-muqatta'at, they are among the mutashabih, which means the meaning is not clear to anyone. That only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly knows why he has put them there. It's not by accident, it's by design. Okay. It's interesting that the Prophet ﷺ never explained them. And there's no narration of some Sahabi asking, Ya Rasulullah, what is Alif Lam mean? Which also suggests that in that context, in the language, this may have been also a style where some words or some alphabets were there in the beginning because nobody asked. But so all said and done, just remember that it is a part of the Quran. Each of these alphabets is there out of Allah's wisdom. We believe in it. This is revelation. And reading each one of them gets you a reward, because the hadith of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anh, who said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that for every letter of the Quran, there is a reward. And I don't say alif, lam, mim is one. Alif is one, lam is one, mim is one. So whenever you read, you say noon, you get a reward. Okay? So this is what I wanted to just mention about the Huruf al-Muqatta'at. Now, there are many theories and interpretations that go with these things. Now, just remember, these are just reflections of some of our upright scholars in certain spiritual states of reflecting on it, and some Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened something for them. And we'll talk about some of the reflections of some of our spiritual scholars have said about noon itself. Okay. But don't take it literally, because as we said, the true meaning is not known except to Allah. Okay? But it's interesting to go over them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the surah Noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun. So Noon wal qalami, by the pen. This is an oath. Okay? This is a qasam. Second, another qasam, وَمَا يَسْتُرُونَ, and what they write. I swear by the pen and I swear by what they write. Now you might say, pen is singular, what they write, what does that mean? يَسْتُرُونَ means what they write. Now, going back, there are multiple opinions that the noon itself is a qasam. Noon wal qalami. So some have said the noon is a qasam, is that Allah takes an oath on the alphabet noon, and he takes a qasam of the pen, and he takes a qasam of what they write. We'll come to that. So this, look at some of the scholars have looked at the shape of this word noon, and what is coming after that is qalam. Now if we look in the way we are in the old ways, when we had a qalam, how did you write with it? You had what is called a da'wat, qalam and da'wat. You dipped it in there, took the ink, and you wrote with it. The shape of that, if you could cut a cross section, is like a noon. It's a container. Okay. So some have said that the pen and the ink that it was dipped in, the container. Now, everything that's created, everything in creation is the product of a command of Allah, which is what? Kun. Command is kun. Fayakun means this is what happened. Command is kun. Everything came into being kun. Ka was not sufficient to bring things into creation. What completed the command? Noon. Kun. The command was completed with the noon. Allah said, kun, with that terminal noon, everything came into being. Also, the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the merciful love or loving mercy of Allah. The ultimate expression that the mercy of Allah is not complete except with his sifat of Ar-Rahman. That all of the merciful love of Allah is completed with a noon. These, again, these are reflections of some people, but they are beautiful to think about. But don't take it that this is how, why Allah put it there, okay? I just want to stress that. So some have said, therefore, all knowledge is encompassed in one alphabet, which is the Noon. Because everything came into creation with Kun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then takes the oath on the pen. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna awwala ma khalaqa Allahu al-qalam." The first thing that Allah created was al-qalam. Now, don't think of it as this pen. Al-qalam in a different dimension. And al-qalam was created, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the qalam. Now, imagine there's nothing, no Jibreel, no space, no time, no dimensions, nothing. Except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He creates an qalam. And He orders the qalam, He says, uktub, write. What are you going to write? There's nothing has ever been written before. What does writing mean? Is it being written in ink? It's being written on what? It's being written with noor? What's it? We have no idea. Allah said, write. اكتب القدر وما هو كائن إلى الأبد. Write down the qadr, the destiny of everything and everything that's going to happen till eternity. Write it down. And this is 50,000 years before the creation of the universe. So, there is that qalam. Keep that in mind, because Allah is taking an oath, we are thinking that qalam. But Allah, when He says qalam, it also means every qalam, every mode of writing and recording of everything is by the qalam. Whether you call it a computer today, whether you call it whatever, it is writing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by this, by the qalam, and then He says, وَمَا يَسْتُرُونَ. The ma in Arabic means, ma means it's open, everything, yasturun, everything that they write. What is this they write or they draw? Yasturun. Satr means to draw, the lines that they draw. Everything that the angels record. And angels record many things, including your and my deeds. Everything they record. Everything that human beings have ever recorded, whether they're hieroglyphics on the walls, on the rocks, and 5,000 years ago, everything that our fanciest computers write today, what will be written? Everything that's written in the genetic code, everything that is written, which means all knowledge, everything written, read, or recorded. And if you remember the first, in the first revelation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allama bil qalam, Allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. By the pen He taught you. So this includes the words of Allah, and it includes of what they write is the words of the best of human beings, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was given a special gift with his speech, was so eloquent that in a few words he could, you know, portray an ocean worth of meaning. They were so precise and beautiful and full of meaning. This was a gift of that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored the pen with the task and as a vehicle of all knowledge forever, even the divine word and the divine qadr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken an oath on these things. Everything that's ever written, all knowledge, the pens, every kind of things, and possibly the pen of destiny. So this is one of the greatest qasam that Allah has taken in the whole Quran. Because sometimes He's swearing by the sun, which is a part of the creation. Here is everything. So, a great and powerful qasam of all knowledge, of all qadr, of all records. Why? Why such a great qasam? And as you know, after every qasam comes something important. Because this qasam is on behalf of someone very special. This qasam is on behalf of someone very special, very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in support of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because people had started, the people who opposed his message, were calling him that he's gone crazy, he's a madman, he's a majnoon. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes this oath. Now he's taking an oath. Now when you take an oath, it's usually you take an oath about something else. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath and addressing the oath to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now think of it this way. He says, مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ. Allah is taking oath that you are Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By the grace of your Lord, you are not Majnoon. So he is reassuring the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is all nonsense what they say. And who is reassuring the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have just, but he takes the oath of all of this to tell the Prophet. Normally you take an oath for people who are denying, you know. I swear, you know, because they doubt your integrity, Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reassuring the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the most, what would you say, impactful way, that there is no doubt about who you are. Now, there is another interesting thing in this ayah. مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ. One meaning is, مَا أَنْتَ, you are not, by the grace of your Lord, as a favor of your Lord, مَجْنُون. However, بِ is also used as a qasam. That is one of the words. And the structure is بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ. So, this is a fourth qasam Allah is saying. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have said, you are not a majnoon. He's taking, I swear by my favor on you that you are not a majnoon. This is a fourth qasam. Did you understand that? There's a direct meaning and there is this meaning that if you take this as the fourth qasam. Okay. Majnoon, as you know, comes from junoon and from jinn because of possession by the jinn. That's one way, means insane. And as you know, there are other accusations of false propaganda against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, calling him sahir, as we know, but in the previous means a magician, a shair, a kahin, a sorcerer, majnoon. What was the reason for all of this opposition to this message early on? Number one, because he was calling to tawheed, which opposed the shirk which existed. He was calling to equality of humans as opposed to the class system that existed of, you know, the masters and the slaves. He was calling for morality when there was an immoral society. And there was a social structure that was being changed. So there is a story that when the Prophet ﷺ used to go and recite at the Kaaba, he used to recite the Quran in the night. One night, what happened after the Prophet ﷺ finished, he left, and three people in the dark streets of Makkah were going, and they met each other, and it turned out to be Abu Jahl, the enemy, Abu Sufyan, who was an opponent of Islam, and Ashnaq bin Shariq, who was also a leader who opposed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all of them knew that we are together opposing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in the night they meet each other. He said, "Where did you go?" So he tried to make excuses, and it turned out that all three of them had gone to secretly listen to the recitation of the Quran of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when they realized that, they said, "Look, you know, we can't afford to do this, because if everybody in Makkah finds out that we, who are the biggest opponents of this message, are secretly listening to the Quran and enjoying it, then they will all become Muslims. So we are never going to do this again. You agree?" "I agree." Abu Sufyan said, "I will never come back." Abu Jahl said, "I will never come back." Ashnaq bin Shurak said, "We will never come back." Next night, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reciting the Quran in the night. And guess who turns up there? Abu Jahl thinks, "The other two are not coming. Let me go and enjoy the Quran." Abu Sufyan thinks, "The other two are not coming, let me go and enjoy." Ashraq bin Shariq goes there. All three end up and they find each other there. And again they say, "You know, what are we doing? We shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do this. We will never come back." Third night they came back again. After this, Ashraq bin Shariq asked Abu Sufyan, "What do you think of this kalam that we enjoy so much, these words of Allah?" said, you know, it's beautiful, but I will never accept it. I said, why? He said, because this is from the descendants of Abdu-Manaf. You know, this is the lineage of that. When Abdu-Manaf started to feed the people of Hajj, we started providing water because he was from the Makhzum branch of Quraysh. When they started to do this, we used to take, they started to clean the hospitality, we had the keys of the Kaaba. Now one of them has claimed that he's a prophet of Allah. We can't produce that. So I will never accept. So these are the social kind of structures because of which this opposition was there. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. And certainly, إِنَّ لَكَ for you is a reward that is never ceasing. Never ceasing, never exhausted, for which there is no reckoning. That, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are not a madman. Allah takes four aqsam, and then he says, for you, for the effort that you are making and for everything, there is a great, great reward. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this ayah, which, you know, is a famous ayah. And then he says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. وَإِنَّكَ, inna is something you do, tawkeed, or stress something. إِنَّ لَكَ لَعَلَىٰ. That lam is lam of tawkeed also. So double stress Allah is making, that it's a confirmation that you are on the khuluqul azim. Khuluq is character, behavior, manners. Azim means the greatest, the most elevated. And who's giving this certificate? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you could imagine that there was a throne of akhlaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you are the king of that throne, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that there is no one with better akhlaq than you. You are the master of akhlaq. That by your nature, by your character, by your conduct, by your disposition, manners, you have the most exalted and the lofty and the most magnificent, grand character, the character of the Qur'an, on the character of Islam. That the exalted position of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was by virtue, besides Allah choosing him, of his exalted character. And there are many ayats of the Quran that talk about that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about that so that we may aspire as his followers to have the same characteristics, to develop the same characteristics in our lives. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was easygoing. He took it easy. Easygoing in what way? If there were two halal ways of doing something, he would choose the easier, not for himself, but to make it easy for the ummah. For himself, he took the harder way. But anything to do with people, he would find the easier, make it easy for the people. He was easygoing. But if it was something haram, he would be the furthest from it. He was gentle, gentle with little kids, with old people, with needy people, with every, he was gentle, he was kind, he was the kindest, he was close to people, he didn't have, you know, aloof from people, he was with the people, he used to sit with the people, he used to eat with them, whatever, the poorest. So he was close to the hearts of people, he shared with them, he consulted with them, even though he's getting wahi decisions, he would sit with them to make them feel and to teach us that we should consult each other. We already know he was the most truthful. He was the most generous. Nobody turned away from him without receiving something. Never said no. The most trustworthy. He was the most just. Never did any injustice. The most forgiving, especially when his own rights were violated. People attacked him physically. He never took any return. However, if the rights of Allah were violated, then he would be angry and he would give the prescribed punishment. The most mild-mannered, he was the wisest, the most patient, grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what happened. Remember that Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, all your sins have been forgiven. Why do you sort of essentially torture yourself all night standing with your legs swollen and cracked? He said, should I not be Abdun Shakur, a grateful servant, always showing great gratitude, forbearing, modest. He was full of haya, very hayy, And he was shuja, he was brave. When everybody got disconnected and ran, when they were ambushed, you know, after the conquest of Makkah, they were going to Taif, then the battle of Hunain, they were ambushed, and everybody ran away. And the Prophet alone on his camel moving forward, I am Abdullah, I am Rasulullah, and he's going forward, bravery, and then everybody came around to him. So, he was brave. How gentle was it? Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, was his mother was very smart. One day in Medina, she brought a six-year-old to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Rasulullah, I have brought him as a gift to you. 6 years old. Said, what's he going to do? Said, he will serve you, whatever it is. He'll if nothing else, he'll bring water for you for your wudu. Such a smart woman. So Anas bin Malik radiallahu, from the age of six, he spent 24 hours a day with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, for 10 years I was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you know kids what they do. He said, not once did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, oof to me. Not once did he say, why did you do this? Not once did he ask, why did you not do this? When I asked him. And there were times when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to do something, he said, I'm not going to do it. And he went and started playing with us, and the Prophet didn't say anything. So this is the gentleness of the character. And this we have to remember with our own kids also, to be gentle. They are children. They are growing up. We don't have to discipline 3-year-old and 4. They don't understand. The brains are not mature enough. Just love and gentleness. They will learn, inshallah. The Prophet ﷺ never avenged for himself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet ﷺ, persist and persevere in your task of preaching, in your ibadah, and in your character, because you are the best of character. فَسَتُبْصِرُوا وَيُبْصِرُونَ بِأَيِّكُمُ الْمَفْتُونَ. And I'm going to stop at that ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, fa, and then, sa, in the near future, تُبْصِرُوا, you will see, ويبصرون, and they will see, who make all these accusations. Who among you are the maftoon? Who among you are the madman? Who among you is the one who made the wrong choices? And who made the right choices? In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, in the near future, you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and your enemies will see, as the writing of the pen of Qadr unfolds, and more things comes out of the noon, who made the right choices and who made the wrong choices? Who was deluded by their arrogance? Who was maftoon? Maftoon means put to trial. Who was crazy? Who was mad? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is implying a threat in this, that soon you will find out who was right, who was wrong. So we are going to, actually I will do one more ayah and then stop. Inna rabbaka huwa a'lamu بِمَنْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ. And indeed, your Lord knows who has strayed from the right way and who is rightly guided. In other words, you may claim with your arguments, you have smart arguments, that he is the madman and he is wrong and this message is wrong. The arguments, Allah is saying, there is a judge. Ultimately, it's not going to be your decision, who your arguments. There is a judge who will decide who was right and who was wrong. And that is your Rabb. And he already knows who has strayed, who has made the wrong choices, and who is on the right path. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that he is best aware of who is on the right deen and who has lost his way. And therefore, he as the judge will make the final decision. And it is not about compelling arguments and smartness and this and that. So inshallah, we will stop at this ayah in the interest of time, and we will continue from there in the next session, bi-idhnillah. So we will stop here, and then we will go into the Q&A. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He open our hearts to this beautiful surah. All of the Quran is beautiful, which gives assurance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it gives assurance to us also. It was not just for him. Because today, what do people say? Oh, you are crazy. You are dreaming of things in the heavens, and you are talking about Horan, and you are talking about gardens in the skies, and you know, you guys are crazy, right? We hear that. you are extremists, you are this, you are that. You will see and they will see. Just remember. And be assured that you are on the right path as long as you are holding on to the deen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and know his haqiqah with Allah, his reality with Allah, his honor with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah is taking all of these aqsam, the oaths, in support of him to show us what his status is and that he is the best of human beings. And not only to feel proud that we are his followers, but we look like his followers externally and especially internally. Internally means with our own akhlaq. We will never be like Rasulullah, but we make our best effort to be like him. And this is all one package. These akhlaq is one package. It's not like, okay, I'm truthful, but I'm not trustworthy. I am patient, but I'm not grateful. It's all together. Every one of these is an Islamic character. This is what gives. This is who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We want to be like him. Now, yes, we may have weaknesses in some areas, and that's what we need to work with to improve ourselves. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to give us the best akhlaq. اللَّهُمَّ اهْدِنَا لِأَحْسَنِ الْأَخْلَاقِ فَلَا يَهْدِي إِلَىٰ أَحْسَنِهَا إِلَّا أَنْتَ وَاصْرِفْ عَنْ سَيِّئَهَا وَلَا يَصْرِفْ عَنْ سَيِّئَهَا إِلَّا أَنْتَ لَبَّيْكَ وَسَعْدَيْكَ الْخَيْرُ كُلُّهُ بِيَدَيْكَ الشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ وَأَنَا بِكَ وَإِلَيْكَ نَسْتَغْفِرُكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. Oh Allah, guide us to the best of akhlaq, and nobody guides to the best of akhlaq other than you, and keep us away from bad akhlaq, and nobody protects from bad akhlaq except you. All good is in your hand, and nothing that's not good is attributed to you. Ya Allah, forgive us and guide us and protect us and beautify us with the best of akhlaq. Zayyan qulubana bil husnul khuluq. O Allah, beautify our insides, our hearts, with the best of character, and protect our hearts from bad traits, and help us to get rid of them. And as your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us, that the heaviest on the day of judgment on the scales is good akhlaq. And as he taught us, as we remember from the seerah, he said in one narration that those who are closest to me on the day of akhlaq will be the people with the best character. So you want to be with him? Then that's what we have to do. Ameen. Ameen. Subhanak.